if you think that it's a pretty safe guess to say that you've been in church just about every Sunday of your life since you were born. Stand up if that's you. If you go, I reckon just about every Sunday of my life almost. And I'm not talking about when you're sick, dead, or dying, but, you know, somewhere otherwise. So you guys have been in church that sort of amount of time. All right, sit down again. Is there anyone here who's never stepped foot inside church? Never been to church before. Maybe one or two that have never been to church before. So that's a big difference, isn't it? Someone that's been in church every Sunday of their life, and then there's others of us here that have maybe never really been in church before. And we've got to try and get on the same page, okay, to about the same level, all right? So, Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. You've ever had time to get there? The preacher's not there yet. If you're there, help a person beside you.
What are we doing?
Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. There'll be someone nearby that can help you out if you can't quite find it. Alrighty.
Chapter 1.
Can you read me verse 1 and 2 in a minute, okay? 1 and 2. Alright. If you're still looking, nice and quiet. Nice and quiet. Should only hear turning pages, shouldn't hear any voices. Alrighty. So I'm going to get Sam to read out Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
God put that sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past. Fathers of by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
All right, thank you very much. The Bible says here that God has spoken unto us in times past. In many ways and in many means, God has spoken to mankind, but in these last days, he's spoken unto us by somebody specific. And the Bible says here that he's spoken unto us by his Son. Well, that tells us a little bit, but it doesn't tell us everything. It sort of starts the story and it tells us a little bit, but not all of it. We start to get a picture. And I want to really, really quickly just run through who the Son is. Who God's Son is. And you go, oh, I know that. And maybe you do. But maybe someone else doesn't. And maybe I might be able to help you tell you some things. And maybe the Lord might speak to you about some things about his Son that you don't know. And so even though we're going over some stuff that some of you will be real familiar with, tonight it gets us all on the one level so that then we can step from there and launch off there all together, okay? So that's what we're trying to do tonight. And we're going to spend some time looking at God's Son, okay? We're going to go really, really quick, and we're going to pray, ask the Lord to help us, and then jump right into it and just hook in a bit, okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the chance to be here. I pray, Lord, you'd help us speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that it would not just be me that is heard tonight, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would be here amongst us and you would speak to our hearts. You'd speak to me, Lord. You'd speak to these campers and the leaders. You'd keep to speak to the adults and the workers, Lord, that we would hear from you tonight and that you would work on us and draw us unto yourself. I thank you, dear Lord, that you're mindful of us. I pray you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. So, we just read Hebrews verse 1, and chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and the Bible talks about God's Son, and it says that God's Son has spoken, that God has spoken to us by his Son, and it tells us a couple of things about his Son. It says it's who he's appointed to be heir of all things, and by whom also he made all the worlds. The Bible says there's two things in verse 1 and 2 that he wants us to know straight up about God's Son. And this is what he wants us to know. That he is heir of all things. Do you know what that means? That means that the Son of God gets all of everything at the end of it all. That's what goes to the Son. It's an inheritance. He's an heir. Everything that is God's is his. You remember the story of the prodigal son? And there was the other brother. And the other brother got all twisted out of shape because the prodigal son got back and dad put on a roast. And he'd never had a roast before. Of course he'd had a roast before. And the father said, look, what's mine is yours. You've been with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. You've been here with me. The father and the son in that story were one. What was one's was the other. The Bible says here when it comes to God the Father and his son, he says he's heir of all things. But you know what that also means? That also means that the son is there at the end. At the end of everything, there is the Son of God. But he also says, not only is he the heir of all things, but the Bible says that by whom also he made the worlds. Not only is the Son there at the end, he's there at the beginning. Now that's a difference. So hands up if you're a son. Is there any boy that doesn't have his hand up? That would be embarrassing. You're a son. If you're a boy, you're somebody's son. There's some old men at the back that they've forgotten dad. That's what's happened. But you know what? There was a time when you weren't. Mum and dad were, but you weren't. See, most of the time when we talk about a son, we talk about someone who came along later on. Your mum and dad were there, and then a son came along later on. And a daughter came along later on. But here when it's with God, God says, no, the son was there in the beginning. There was never a time where the Son of God wasn't there. It's a different sort of sonship. And we see that. It's a title. It's a position he has. It's who he is. But it's not like you are you as the son of your parents. And they were there one day and then you came along later on. No, when God was there, the Son was there. And everything is made by the Son. Not only is the Son there in the end, the Son was there in the beginning. And this is what God steps into and gives us this. And so now, Hebrews 1:3. Oh, snap, we've got to hand it over. Too busy looking at them all. Hebrews 1:3, what do we got? Oh no, she beat you. Snap, you were quick, but she got it quicker. Sorry. Just verse 3. So the Bible here then tells us not just who the Son is, but he tells us a few things about him. And let's run through this really quickly. It says the Son is the brightness of God's glory. The brightness of God's glory. God's glory, as the Bible says. There's a glory of God, and the Son is the brightness of that. If we turned the lights out, then we would go, if we turned the lights off, we would be able to say there's no light in the room, right? But there would still be lights in the room. Right?
Yes.
That's kind of confusing thought, isn't it? There's lights in the room, but there's no light in the room. The light would be there, but there'd be no brightness of that light. And so we flick the light on and we see the brightness of the light. And the Bible says that the Son is the brightness of God's glory. That God's glory is there, but the Son is the brightness of it. And that's what helps, and that's a big help to us as we look at some other things. The Bible says he's the express image, the exact visual representation of God's person. The Son, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know what? You can't see a spirit. You can't see God. No man can see God. But the Bible says that the Son is the exact image of God, the express image of God, and the express image of his person. But not just the visual representation of God, that idea of the exact person of God. Stand up, Isaac. Can everyone see Isaac?
Yeah.
Can everyone see what sort of a character Isaac is? Can anyone see the quality of his heart? Can anyone see the depth of his love? Can anyone see the depravity of his wickedness? Because he has that too. You know, we can see his person. We can see this figure in front of us. But you can't really see who the person is, can you? You've got to get to know him a bit better before you can see the person. Right? But the Bible says that the Son is the express image of God's person. You want to know who God is? Get to know his Son. You want to know what sort of, you want to know the character of God? Get to know his Son. Because the Son is the express image of the person of God. The character and the Son, who God is. That's who the Son is. The Bible says that the Son upholds everything by the power of his word. Upholds everything by the power of his word. Remember the very start of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what? He said, let there be light. If you were at camp early today, you would have seen some electricians here. They're not as good electricians as God was. Because you know what? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Those electricians, they had to get a tractor and ladders and cables and glass and light bulbs and everything else and hook it all up and spend hours and hours and hours for them to be able to do something to get some light happening. God did it by the word of his power. And not only did he do it by the word of his power, he upholds everything by the word of his power. You know, we don't think about it. There's some light above us, but you know why there's some light above us? Because somebody somewhere dug some coal out of the ground and stuck it on a train and sent it to a power station, and they set it on fire and they spun a big bunch of steam out of it for a turbine and put it in a power line and sent it whirling way over here so that we could go flip up. There's a light. Now I can look at a moth flying around and bring more in because someone dug up some coal. But you know what God did? God just said, let there be light. By the word of his power. And you know how it keeps happening? It's all upheld by the word of God's power. Let me give you this for free. And don't get me wrong. We need to look after what God has given us. But you know who the Bible says holds the balance of this world in his hand? The world is worried that we're going to tip everything out of balance. And we're not going to be able to survive on this earth anymore because we're going to tip it all out of balance because we're using too much, we're not being careful enough with it. And we're ruining the environment. Now, I've got a lot of kids. I've taught them all how to ride a bike. And you know what I do? I run behind them. And as they're trying to pedal and losing their balance, I'm running behind them, keeping their balance. I'm upholding them. And don't get me wrong, we need to look after what God's given us. But we don't need to stress about the fact that it's all going to fall over one day, because God says he's holding it in his hands. He's got the balance. He upholds it by the word of his power. This is what the Son does. The Bible says he purged, he made clean our sins. You might know it. Some of you only know me today. Some of you know me from a few days last year. A few of you have known me for years. Many years. And you know what I am? I'm a wretched sinner. There's not a day goes by where I don't sin in one way or another. It seems to me like I just can't stop it. No matter how hard I try, I can't fix sin. It's like sweat. It just happens and it makes me stink. And no matter how much I try not to, it still gets on me. And you know, if you're honest about yourself, that's the position you're in too. Because you've told plenty of lies. You've hated someone without a cause. Been angry at them for nothing. You've stolen. You've looked where you shouldn't look. You've thought where you shouldn't thought. You've done what you shouldn't do. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Son made clean the sin of all His people. Purged our sins. He paid for the sins of the whole world, and we'll talk about that a bit. But you know what the Bible says? That your sin, the Son, can make you clean from your sin. Purge you of all your sin, clean you of all your sin. How would that be? How would that be to be able to run all day, roll in all the mud you want, and not stink of sweat at the end of the day, Clem?
Pretty good.
That'd be pretty. We agree. It would be good. Now, it ain't a matter of the fact that we can go and sin as much as we want and do what we want to do, and Christ will just wash our sin away and we can forget all about it. But it does mean this, that the sin that we can't get rid of ourselves, Christ can make us clean. This is the thing, this is who the Son is. This is describing the Son. And you know what? With upholding, with being the brightness of God's glory, being the express image of God's person, upholding everything by the power of His Word, purging, making us clean of our sins. And you know what He then did? He then sat down at the right hand of the majesty, the divinity of God on high. Sat down in heaven, seated right next to God. Now, whether you believe it or not, hands up if you think you've met all my family. Okay, you've met all my family. Yeah. You have. I knew someone to put your hand up. There's one of my immediate family that you haven't met. You met most of the others probably. Last year and this year. But I have another daughter. Oh, I so much want to say the best of the lot just to get angry. But you know, she's not. She's as bad as the rest of them. But you know what? Whether you believe me or not, it doesn't matter. Do you know I have a pet Rissole at home? I do. I got a pet Rissole at home. And you don't have to believe me, but I got one. What you believe doesn't make any scrap of difference about whether that Rissole's running around in my house or not. And it doesn't matter what you believe about God, He's there. What you believe matters, but it doesn't make any difference to whether God's there or not. God's there. God's seated on His throne in heaven, and His Son seated beside Him in majesty on high. Now, whether you believe that or not doesn't change any fact to what God's doing and what the Son's doing. But then the Son has a few titles. The Bible says here, close the Bible for me. We'll make this even. Lily's got it. I'll give you some warning this time. Close your Bibles. Everyone, close your Bibles. Close your Bibles. You ready? Here we go. Hebrews 1:8. You're like, oh, it's just there. Are you there? Why? Stand up and read it. You got to read it to me. 1 verse 8. Good job, you got some of the hard words, but well done. So the Bible says here, under thee saith thy throne. Who has a throne?
God.
A king has a throne, right? Royalty has a throne.
Jesus has a throne.
That's where thrones are. Thrones are in castles. The Bible says here, thy throne. He saith unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. It's interesting what he says about the Son. The Father says to the Son, thy throne, O God. Did you catch what he called the Son? He called the Son God. The Father, God the Father, called God the Son God. That hurts the brain a little, doesn't it? You know why? We talked about this a bit last year. Because we're trying to understand God the way your reflection in a mirror would be able to understand you. I mean, it's a lot like you, isn't it, your reflection? But it's not you. And there's a whole lot going on in you that's not going on in that reflection. And there's a whole lot going on in God that's not going on in us. And we're just trying to understand Him as best we can. But His ways are above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. And He's just so much cooler than we could ever hope to be and so much more than we could ever hope to do. And just so much far beyond anything we are. But God, here the Bible says, said to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy king." You know what a scepter is? You do?
Yes.
It is a staff.
It's a staff. It really is. And I don't like saying this because we're talking about the scepter of God, but in many, many ways it's a fancy word for a stick. It's a little bit more important than a stick. And it's a special stick that a king carries to rule over his domain, his kingdom. And he says that the scepter of God is a scepter of righteousness. And not only that, verse 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness," the Son has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And the Bible basically talks here about the fact that the Son has a kingdom, and it's a kingdom of righteousness. And righteousness, because He loves righteousness and hates iniquity, God has anointed Him with an oil of gladness. You know what oil's like? It's a bit like perfume. Is the way this is kind of understanding it. And so it's a perfume of gladness. Just a glad smell about that. Don't know if anyone's got that. None of that. I haven't walked past any of these fellas and gone, "That smell makes me happy." But it's interesting. He loved righteousness and hated iniquity, and God gave him gladness. You know what we think? We think that sin is going to make me happy. But God said, no, righteousness is what's going to bring gladness into your life. And this doesn't give you the whole answer, but this will give you a bit of an idea of where your heart is. Whether you're a part of the Son's kingdom, or whether you're not, what do you love? Righteousness or iniquity? What do you hate? Righteousness or iniquity? Because the Bible says the Son loves righteousness and hates iniquity. And then, here we go, we're going somewhere else. Acts 5:29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, we've got it. Here we go. Hang on, hand it over. Who's got? Send it to the man. Here we go. Acts 5:29. You can read the lot. Verse 32.
Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him."
We're talking about God the Son having a kingdom. And the Bible says here, as you read it, it talks about who the Son is. I've lost my place because I was listening to James read. We are witnesses of these things, and so is... Oh, no, back a verse. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince. A prince. There's a title. A title of royalty over a kingdom. And this is who the Son is. And so the titles of the Son, we see what the Son is called. It's called a prince. And he's got a throne. And he's God, and he loves righteousness, and he hates iniquity. And that righteousness, God's anointed him with gladness, and said, this is where the gladness is, and where happiness is. It's in righteousness, and in the righteousness of the kingdom. And in Acts, the Bible talks about this prince, and gives us some more information that him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. They were there to tell of what the prince did. Oh, I want to stop for a bit longer there. We need to keep moving. Hebrews 1:10. Come on, get it from Hebrews 1:10. Oh, here we go, Toby.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands.
Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. The Bible talks here about the Son, and says, the Son has some work of his hands. He laid the foundations of the earth. He stretched out the heavens. He laid the foundations. He stretched out the heavens. But you know what it also said he would do? He'll fold it up like a garment. When it's done, he'll fold it up. And you know what? That's really important to you and I, especially when the world around us is going, we're going to kill ourselves off and we're going to bring this world to an end. And the Bible says, no, no, no. The Son will fold it up when he's good and ready. Now, I've had some pair of jeans that I really like. And I think I had to get those jeans out of the rag bag 3 times before my wife found a different way to get rid of them and I couldn't find them anymore. I mean, I wore them out. They had holes all through the knees and they were just the best. But they were worn out. And so we can wear things out, but God will fold it up when he's good and ready. But you know what we see? We see here the Son, he's the author. The person that put it all together. And he's the finisher that closes it all up. Hebrews 12:1. Oh, are you there? Hebrews 12, hand him over, Toby. No, hey, listen up. You think you won, but you didn't. Hand it over. You got beaten. You're a fifth grader? Yeah, you got beaten by a fifth grader. Hebrews 1, verse, just the end of 1. Hebrews 12. No, you're up. Read it so Pastor Buddy can hear me. Okay? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. You know who the Bible says the Son is? He's the author. He's the one that put it all together. And he's the one that's going to fold it all up at the end. And it'll be done. You ready? Last one. Hebrews. No, that's not a lie. Hebrews 1:13. Oh, well done. Back at it. Where we got? Hebrews 1:13. Which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Psalms 110, verse 1. Psalms 110, verse 1. Which of the angels did he say, sit on my right hand? Oh, Lauren's got it. He didn't say to any of the angels. That's the whole point of the question. Which of the angels did he say that? He didn't say it to any of the angels. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Who's seated on the right hand of the Father? The Son. The Son is seated on the right hand of the Father. God said unto the Son and called him God. And in Psalms he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until thine enemies be made thy footstool. He's the Prince. He's the Author. But the Bible says here that he has an enemy. Well, now we're getting back to boot camp, aren't we? And this is where I need you to be for the rest of the week. I need you all here for the rest of the week. All of this was to get you to this point, everyone to this point where we're looking right now. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And Lauren's got it for tonight because I'm going to give you the last verse. I'm going to read it myself because I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention to these two verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That's not where I want to be reading. It's a good verse. We'll be back there. That's my name. That's later on. That's what I want you to move. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Do you want to know who the Son of God is? He's the captain of salvation. Now let me ask you something. I tell you, he's the captain of my salvation. Is he your captain? Because here's the thing. Whether you believe it or not, he is the Prince of Peace. And whether you believe it or not, he is the author of this world and he is the finisher of this world. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Whether you believe it or not, he is God seated on the right hand of the Father. But when it comes to being captain, that's dependent on where you stand. Is he your captain? Are you on his team? Are you a part of his army? Do you follow him? The Bible says, but we see Jesus. For those of you that are saved and know where you stand, I ask you to pray this week. That we would see Jesus. That everybody in this room at this camp would see Jesus. And more than just see him. And I don't mean seeing with your eyes, I mean seeing with your heart. Seeing with the eyes of faith. The captain of our salvation. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. A lot of talk about the captain, what it is to have a captain. What it means to have a captain. In the Australian Army, a captain is in charge of 120 men and officers. He's in charge. What he says, do. Is he your captain? Let me tell you something. Appreciate the honesty, but let me tell you something. We're going to look into this. You do have a captain. And if it's not Jesus, it's somebody else. There's someone else in charge. So we're going to spend a week looking unto Jesus that you might see Jesus. And I want you to think about this, old and young. I want you to think about this. Will you follow him? Because that's what you do with a captain. You follow a captain. That's what I'd like to leave you with tonight. to look unto Jesus and to see him and consider whether you will follow him as your captain, the captain of your salvation. Well, let's close the word of prayer and then we'll hand over to James. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. And my Lord, I know I ran through a lot tonight and we just ran hard to get a bit done. But Lord, I pray that tonight we might be all on that same page, understanding the same things about who you are. God of all glory, Son of the Father, Creator, Finisher, Prince of Peace. But Lord, I pray that you would just challenge our hearts all week about your place as captain in our lives. That Lord, you might confound the oppositions of the enemy. And that Lord, you might speak to hearts young and old, big and small, and that they might see Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Grab a seat, guys. We're not done. Jump back in your seats.
Let's turn to number 11 in our songbooks, and we'll sing this, and then we'll I'll give you some direction. Okay? Always the same. Thinking about these things, not just leaving them here in the pew,